All right, we are back. Nuck Nuck is hot. Yes, it's the only switch that's not on. If his assistant could go turn on the other switch. The kicker defender, the apologist for Roberto Aguayo. No, over here. There we go. Perfect. Thank you, sir. We are back with the water cooler session of whatthebuck.net. This is the non-PG-13 show. At this point, we have Nuck Nuck on the mic. Mark Cook has been replaced with Nuck Nuck. Mark Cook is taking his shirt off for some reason.
Mark Cook just left.
What the hell just happened?
Hi, Nuck Nuck here.
Nuck Nuck just showed
I'm
up.
Crazy. I just did some business.
We here. We are. We
are
not.
We are pictures. Sure. I will put it back on.
We are.
What
not,
do you think I'm threatening to take your picture for?
We are not making this up. Nuck Nuck is naked. We
got
naked
Nuck Nuck. I learned studio. That from Mark Cook because he actually did a whole segment in 98.7 The Fan without his pants on one time. So
that is getting posted post haste. I'll block out Nuck Nuck's face.
Yes.
At any rate, welcome back. We are not in formal attire, guys, but I can tell you Nuck Nuck is shirtless.
Look,
at this point.
There may be other award-winning Bucks podcasts, but there are no naked Bucks podcasts well, until What the Buck.
I will take it a step further. Nuck Nuck is not afraid to drop the pants.
I was going
to
say, in Nuck Nuck's defense, we'd rather him have his pants on, but now he's threatening to take his pants off. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 813-964-7364.
Has there ever been an all-nude Buccaneer podcast? Let's all go, guys. Bring
listen,
it.
Listen, man, I don't
and then we'll
like
go jump
any
in the
of
pool
you enough
after
to get
this.
Naked. And by the way, okay, listen, I know this is, in this water cooler thing, I don't want to hear anyone say that we're off topic because there are no off topics.
Exactly.
Right? If you've ever owned a pool, they are a money pit.
Sure.
I came home the other day after my emotional Tuesday night. I was talking to Spent on the phone, lamenting, venting.
Excited
all these
about the Trump. Yeah.
Totally excited about the Trump train that everyone's excited about. No, not really. And our pool people, who are wonderful, saltily with people, the father, it's a father-son thing. He's out there. I'm like, oh, okay. I go out. He's like, hey, man, listen, I got to tell you, your water filter's cracked.
Is that bad?
Like, what the fuck? Didn't we just replace this? We've replaced everything. He's like, well, do you want to see it? No, I don't want to fucking see it. I don't even want to pay for it. I don't know I had one.
Can we fill that up with cement? Just fill the sucker in.
Then I realized I felt bad. I felt very, very bad because it was not his fault. And I apologize. He's a very nice, calm. I was like, listen, this isn't your fault. I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. This is so not you. Let's go look at it. It was totally screwed. But anyway, we can jump in the pool, but I can't guarantee you the chlorine. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 813-964-7364. Nuck Nuck has gotten his formal attire on, meaning his nipples are out, which is very... And now he's tweaking them, which is awkward. We are going to be
feel
talking...
these, Chris. They're really hard.
John just said that Josh McCown just threw a pick, which shouldn't surprise anyone, I guess, at this point. The Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns.
I was listening to you guys coming in, and you were talking about hits that don't get called. I'm still waiting for Ndamukong Suh to get sued for that forearm to Josh McCown's face in that Detroit game a couple years ago.
Ndamukong Suh should be sued for a number of things,
yeah.
To be honest. It's astonishing that he is still not fine. But Buccaneers. Let's talk about the Buccaneers. We talked with your buddy Mark Cook earlier when you were transacting whatever businesses you have to do.
He's a good dude.
He's all right. He's
by
all
the
right.
way, I can announce that Nuck Nuck is going to be an official dispensary for medical marijuana.
I can't look
so
at him.
So I just scored. Nuck Nuck scored that. I'm just kidding. I didn't, but I'm working on that.
All right. Well, for those of you who are not in Florida, Amendment 2 did pass, so medical marijuana is a viable option down here. It will be very, very
oh,
soon.
Oh, my back is killing me.
That glaucoma. Mm-hmm. Glaucoma.
Me and Snoop, we've had glaucoma for years.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about color. I took some notes. It's funny because, you know, I talked a little bit on the PG-13 podcast. Last week we did this first sort of attack show. He's trying to make you uncomfortable, Chris.
It's my shirt off.
Can I curse
I'm
in front of your
I'm not hanging out with my wang out.
Listen,
come
I've
on.
Already said fuck like three times. His son's used to
okay,
it.
Okay, I can curse in front of your son. I can't
It's not
look.
Nuck Nuck's son. It's Cook's son. He doesn't care.
I'm sorry. I can't fucking look at him anymore.
It's my, I mean, I'm not Farley doing the Chippendales thing, guys. Okay. I mean, come on. Right. It's not that bad, is it?
I haven't no, had enough Tito's.
I will sit in your Tito's. Lap the rest of the
I
show.
I think it's glorious. I had a list of dumb narratives, people that were being attacked. I had McCoy, Jameis, Light, Aguayo, which is probably a good reason. Wide receivers, running back, safeties. You know who wasn't on the list, though?
Linebackers?
Fucking linebackers. And I watched the tape this week, and yeah. Listen, I talked about it a little bit in the PG-13 show, but I didn't even go off as bad as it was. Levante David looks terrible. I don't ever want him to be injured, right? And if he is injured, this regime has been very tight-lipped when it comes to injuries, and I'm okay with that. I'd be the same way if I was a coach. I'm not going to let you know. In fact, if I were them, I would have Jameis walking with a freaking knee brace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think he's hurt.
Right.
I got no issue, right? I would Belichick the shit out of this stuff all day, every day, within right to the edge of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But Lavonte David is playing shit football right now, and he's got to stop. So I don't know what the plan is for that, Nuck Nuck. I don't know if you've got some insight on the linebacking core, but this is what I find funny. No one out there is talking about it because you don't see that unless you go watch the All-22.
Right.
Right, you just don't see it.
Yeah, I wish, you know, Mark had filled me in a little bit more about the linebacker situation. It's something I'm going to pay a little bit, or that he's going to tell me a little bit more about, because he's going to watch that a little bit more carefully in the Bears game. You know, this is a game where Lavonte has heard, you know, the rumblings. He's been asked about it this week. And he was asked, Mike Smith was asked about it, because I was doing some business today and I was watching the press conference on Buccaneers.com. Mark was there and asked some questions, but I was watching it on Buccaneers.com, and you know, you could tell Mike was not, he was trying to not throw Lavonte under the bus. He was saying, you know, we've got to put him in better positions to succeed. But there is some truth to that. I mean, Lavonte is being asked to do something completely foreign to what he's done his first, however many, 5 years in the league, whatever it is, 4 years. And I'm sorry, I didn't close the door, and the dog just came in.
Dog's running
around. Actually,
in.
That's a dingo.
Nuck Nuck's naked.
Nuck Nuck's naked. There are dogs running around. Lions and lambs
pets
living
heads
together.
Heads are falling off.
Mass hysteria.
Call the show. What's the number? Eight?
Donald Trump's going to get elected next.
That's not possible.
Oh, no, it's impossible. No chance.
What's
New
the
York
number
Times
of the show?
So.
813?
813-964-7364.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't really have any scoop on that. Mark hasn't told me anything. But listen, I just, you know, I think it's a combination of a lot of factors, potentially being hurt, like Mike said, being asked to do something that he just hasn't done before, including a lot more coverage. Again, Lavonte was never really asked to be well, that's not true. He did have some coverage responsibilities in the past, but Mike said today he's asked to do a lot more of that this year than he has in the past.
The problem I have is not with the responsibility changes. And to John's question in the chat room, does this defense handcuff him? Does it make it different? It is different, certainly. The problem that I'm seeing is the guessing is wrong, his fundamentals are wrong, his angles are wrong, and his effort isn't where it should be. But other than that,
he's
great. It's a Pro Bowl season.
Look, you guys know this, and whatever you do in your careers, and I'm not sure, Mark knows you better than I do. I just met you guys last week. But the bottom line is, whatever you do, when you do it without thinking, you're better at your job. And Lavonte David, in my opinion, is thinking too much, and he's not playing on instinct. He's an instinctual player, if I use the right word there.
That is correct.
And I just don't see him playing with instinct right now. I see him trying not to make mistakes, and that's the key to making mistakes. Hang on a second. I need a triple A battery. My beeper. I got some people trying to call me on business. My beeper battery's weak. If you guys could let me
know. Those listeners to the show who are not as old as Nuck Nuck, a beeper is a thing we used to use before cell phones.
And some of us still use it depending on the business we're in.
It's true.
Untraceable.
Yeah, it's 7364. Thank you, John. 813-964-7364. Day one, Rick Hughes is asking, which means we may get a flyby by Rick Hughes.
Cool.
Tell Rick Hughes he can send me some more photo shoot material. He'll know what I'm talking about.
Look at that. Just that fast.
It's probably Lavonte.
See, he interrupted me, not you, Mark.
Welcome to the phone lines here at whatthebuck.net. Who do we have on the line?
I mean, Nuck Nuck.
Hey, this is Rick Hughes, day one.
Hey, day one. What's up, brother?
Hey, got a question for you. What is the deal with losing at home this many games? That's not a coincidence. It's not a trend. Derek, you've got a saying about this. I forgot what it is about when something happens so many times in a row. But there's no way something like this is a coincidence year after year after year. And you can win on the road.
I don't know what you're – are you asking for a word? Or are
no,
you asking,
I'm asking
for a
for
reason?
What? Why is it happening?
We suck balls. We've been terrible for multiple years, man. Winning on the road versus winning at home, maybe it's because they're in a hotel. If I were the coach, what I would do is I would emulate my road game. Right? I would start eliminating variables.
No, they literally do that. They literally go to a hotel. They meet Saturday morning. They go to a hotel. They have the same meetings.
Right,
it's
but
the
they're
exact
going,
same
But they're
pattern.
Going to a hotel in their hometown.
Yeah.
Right, they have a curfew, but they have all of their normal people here. Right, I would try and insulate, and I'm not saying it would fix it, right? But I mean, Rick is asking a good question. What is the difference versus me being in Baltimore or me being in Tampa? Well, the only real differences are I'm in Tampa, which means I have all my normal distractions, whatever they may be, right? When I'm not in lockdown at the hotel, right? But outside of curfew, I'm not in lockdown. I have my meetings, but I'm able to still communicate. My phone still works. I'm still getting messages. I still have the annoyances that I have in daily life. The other thing would be the field itself. Now, historically, Raymond James Stadium is considered one of the best fields to play on in the league. For some reason, our guys can't fucking stay on their feet on this field. They don't like the longer cleats. They're protecting their knees. Mm-hmm. But if I watch Brent Grimes fall down one more time, my head's going to explode
in
the stands.
He just fell.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was in
How
public.
Many times is someone going to run a basic comeback or an out, and I'm going to watch Brent Grimes fall on the ground like a baby deer?
Well, the good news is he's 7'3", so even when he falls, he's still 6 foot in the air. That's not true?
It's
no?
totally not true.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
It's totally not
My
true.
Bad.
So, Rick, I don't
no,
have an answer.
No, but he is 10 yards behind the receiver.
Oh, look at that. He's 10 Man. Yards behind the receiver.
I want to, Derek, you mentioned something earlier, and I want to poke a little. I understand they're not winning at home, but I want to poke holes in this. That they can win on the road, but not at home.
Okay.
This team has won 11 total games in 3 years. Okay.
But they're way better on the road. Stop it.
But if you take it back to Lovie's first year, they didn't win at home. They only won 2 road games that entire year. They were 2-14. Last year, 3 games, right? Mm-hmm. At home, they won 3 games on the road. So they're 500 at that point. We're 8 games into the year. They've won 3 all on the road. So it's not like they're winning a ton of games.
So 3 games
on
under
the road.
500.
And let's look at the 3 games they won. They won at Atlanta. Full strength,
yep,
okay,
right.
Health-wise. They won against Derek Anderson, with a backup quarterback without Cam Newton, and they won against a bad San Francisco 49er football team on the road. Again, I think those 3 games, had they been played at home in those same circumstances, they probably still win those 3 because they were better that day than those 3 teams.
So, Rick, it sounds like...
That same every year, though, doesn't it seem like we have the same discussion about injuries? It's always... Yeah, mm-hmm. but, you know, we got a lot of injuries this year. This year's different. I mean, every team's got injuries, but this is crazy.
How are the injuries?
Conversation.
How are the injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs right now? What's the injury status for the Minnesota Vikings other than Teddy Bridgewater?
Do you see
the point I'm trying to make? Right?
Oh, I
we know
you.
The
I
injuries here because we're Bucks fans. Right, we don't know. I mean, right now there's probably a Browns fan going, "Jesus Christ, we can't get a break. Our injuries are terrible. We can't play at home. You're a factory of sadness." Right? I mean, that's the thing. That's like us picking on our free agent acquisitions and our drafts. We analyze the shit out of this because we're Bucks fans. That's
but,
what we do.
But let's I'm going to go the other way here and
I heard
and
Nug go Nug with, goes both ways.
Look, you got a 50% better chance of scoring on Friday night. That's just the facts. But listen, Rick's point to a degree is and Derek, you can say this because Mark told me you travel to a lot of stadiums. What's the game day experience inside those stadiums compared to the game day experience at Raymond James so far this year? I mean, go back to Arizona this year as far yep. as the crowd, the atmosphere versus the Denver game this year. How would you rank it?
Well, an indoor dome stadium, right? So louder, cooler. They use natural grass as well. They mm-hmm. roll it out. So the field, I would assume, would be probably comparable. Noise level was high. They have a very large crowd. They have a very strong following in Arizona. But I have to give – listen, you guys know I bust the fans' balls on a regular basis. I'm one of the few people who does that because I'm one of them, right? I hold this to a high standard. The fans in Tampa who have been in the stadium have made a shit ton of noise in that stadium. They've mm-hmm. done a great job and been proud of all 41,000 that show up generally.
But if you're if you're Vernon Hargraves – who would walk out against Western Kentucky and see 80,000 people in the stands, and you walk into Raymond James Stadium as a professional and you see 52,000 people in the stands, doesn't make a difference. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, atmosphere-wise, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I picked Mark told me he was going to pick the Buccaneers last week is because, you know, those night games, the Buccaneers at home in these national televised games, going back to Tony Dungy's second year when they beat the Dolphins to go 5-0 on that Sunday night football, you know, they tend to play better. The home team tends to win those games in those situations. I mean, the records are better and as opposed to a Sunday 1 o'clock game because they know that their peers are watching and things like that. So that's kind of the reason that Mark picked the game from what he was telling me when we were doing some business the other day.
So the query, or what you were saying, Nuck Nuck, do I think that these players are not getting amped up enough because the crowd's not what mm-hmm. they're used to or mm-hmm. whatever? It's possible, I suppose.
And Gerald did say this. Mark wrote about this a couple weeks ago. Gerald said, because he was asked about this specifically, and Gerald mm-hmm. said, you know, there's a pleasure of walking off of another team's field after you've beaten them.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's
winning
it's,
on the road has got to be a huge high.
It's a bigger high than it is winning at home.
It's a huge fuck you, right? I came to right. your house. I took all your groceries. I probably slept with your wife, and now I left.
Twice.
By the way, I clean up,
yeah.
right? So I get that. But the thing is, you've got to be able to defend home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
you'd
that's
think
a
that
given.
High would be at home right now. After, I mean, like you said, 2 years ago we won 0 games at home. Last year we won 3 games at home. This year none.
Right, but I mean, he continued. You just did a liars, damn liars, and statisticians trick, Rick. He said those numbers and he added them all. We're roughly 3 games under 500 thus far this year. We were 500 coming into the season. We are equally atrocious no matter where we play. right? It just feels like we're worse at home.
Not equally if we won two games on the road 2 years ago instead of zero and three games this year on the road instead of zero. It's not equal.
What he said, and I'm Chris, you use the numbers. I'm just going from what you said. We're three games over 500 on the road, or we're three games better on the road than we are at home.
It's 11 total
this
wins.
This season.
It's 11 total wins in three seasons.
Right, and the three games are this season. This season's not over yet, Rick. So until we have this season completed, we don't know where we are.
And I think it's a plus five in 3 years. But this year, yes, it's a plus three.
Rick, you can't argue with two Trump supporters like you're trying. It's just not going to work. They just don't use logic.
No, Rick, I don't know what I can tell you. I don't think there's magic. I don't think there's leprechauns. I don't think there's potholes.
Actually, in Mobile, there is a leprechaun.
Oh, he's got to bring up Mobile. Google
this son
of a bitch
take
all
a,
the time has
shot.
Got to bring up Mobile.
Mark told me because he forgot in the first hour to bring up Mobile. Cheryl, take a shot.
Yeah. Anyway, Rick, I'm sorry if we don't have a better answer for you. I don't think there's any magic to it, though. I don't think there's any secret to it. I don't think that it's because the fans aren't getting loud. I've been in that stadium. They're loud as shit on third down, and it doesn't help this defense who can't get off the field on third down. It doesn't matter.
It will be loud this week because it's going to be
a
new sellout, and it's going to be a big Bears crowd.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the Buccaneers should win because they should look at it as a road game.
But God forbid Dirk come out and say, hey, let's try and keep those dark jerseys out of the lower level because then the fans will get all incensed because he has the audacity to call them out for not being at the game.
Right.
Because we're all a bunch of little whatever.
Bitches.
Yeah, we're little bitches.
All right, I'm going to hang up, guys. Thanks.
Okay, hey, Rick, thanks for calling, brother. Thanks for all the great articles on the website. By the way, if you don't know, Rick Hughes is one of our writers on WeatherBuck.net. We really do appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for
all right, brother. Take care.
There would be as many dark jerseys as long as Kristen Cavallari is wearing them.
Kristen can wear nothing, and she'll be fine.
Well, she modeled herself after old Nuck Nuck that I'm sitting across
well,
right here.
Well, I'm trying to send this vibe to her.
She's got some vibes.
I'm thinking if she sees this pic that
I already texted it to her.
Good. Good.
Chris Oxendine has a thought for you, Rick. It's because the Buccaneers have been a bad team. That's why we don't win at home. And I think you're right. We've been a bad team. The question becomes, when do we stop being a bad team again? And we've talked about this now for multiple games in a row. This team has not played believing they can win. Not as a team. And Mark, Nuck Nuck, Mark brought up
we
in
look
the first
a lot
hour.
Alike.
You guys do, except for you have no shirt on. I should know. Oh, we got another call. Who's
I have
this?
Better nipples than Mark, as Chris can attest.
Welcome to WhatTheBuck.net. Who do we have on the line?
It's Craig in Vegas.
Hey, what's up, Vegas Buck? How you doing, brother?
Good, good, good. Hey, I'll take that tie line. Just let me know what you guys want. I'll put a little juice for you guys.
I like it. I like it.
Hey, does Nuck Nuck have a Twitter page yet?
Nuck Nuck does not have a Twitter page, but we can certainly try and crowdsource it.
He will after this show.
Hey, real quick, I just want to go back to something. Obviously, been a long time Buck fan, you know, since the very beginning. Have you noticed a difference or a change in the franchise the way it was run when Malcolm was around? Versus now, and do you think, I'm not saying it's Jason's fault. Jason's doing all he can. They're doing all they can with what they have. But I think it just seemed like the franchise had a little more juice to it when Malcolm was around. Malcolm seemed to get things done. And do you think at some point did the Glazers kids have to step aside a little bit and bring in a guy with a football background to oversee the whole football operations department? It just seems like something's missing since Malcolm got sick. And the kids really took over.
I think Nuck Nuck wants to field this one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I've heard this be asked before. I'll say this, talking to Mark, who has dialogue with Jason Light and different people, there is nothing that the Glazers do not provide the Buccaneers to be successful. You know, financially, you know, if Jason wants another scout, he gets another scout. He's not handcuffed by any stretch as far as that goes. They trust him fully. In fact, they gave him the approval to cut ties with Anthony Collins and Michael Johnson a couple years ago, and Josh McCown, knowing that, you know, they were going to eat a ton of money. They were okay with that because Jason felt it was time to cut bait. It wasn't working out. Why keep him around in hopes that if he felt it wasn't going to change? So I see what you're saying. I just don't know. I'll go back to this. When Malcolm bought this team, what was it, 95, Sam's last year, that was the year they drafted Derek Brooks and also Warren Sapp. They had drafted John Lynch before that. They ended up drafting some other good players that contributed to this football team. I think I see what you're saying, but Malcolm came into this as this team was on the rise.
Yep.
And saw it sustained, but they just had a lot of luck making some good picks and things coming together. They had a great coaching staff and Tony Dungy and and Rod Marinelli was on this staff, and Joe Barry and Mike Tomlin and obviously Monty Kiffin.
Herm Edwards.
I mean, they had an all-star coaching cast, and I just don't see that we can pin any of the blame really on Brian and Joel and Ed and Darcy really at this point.
Well, one thing with that, though, and Malcolm didn't go through coaches every 2 years, right? So if there's one thing that you can point to from a consistency standpoint, it's that since the Suns have been in control, we've had four head coaches, I believe.
Right.
Right. Out of the 8 years, six of the 8 years, the Bucks have finished last place in the NFC South, third place in those other 2 years. So,
but to argue that point, though, again, at what point did any of the coaches that were here under, which there were only two, Tony Dungy and John Gruden, at what point did they ever suffer, 2-14 years, and then a 3-13 okay. year, and or whatever it may be, a 10 game losing streak?
Yeah, I'll counterpoint that, Mark. Who's hiring the coaches? It's not Mark Domenech and Jason Light, correct? Who's hiring these coaches that are failing?
Jason actually did hire Dirk Cutter.
Well, okay.
I mean, obviously with the approval he doesn't do anything without the approval of him. But yes, Malcolm made two good hires. Now we can say because Malcolm essentially hired John Gruden. Because, they went kind of behind.
Because they couldn't
back.
Get Bill Parcells.
Right. Which they tried.
Right.
So Malcolm did a better job as far as bringing in Tony Dungy. But let's remember, Malcolm also tried to get Jimmy Johnson and Steve Spurrier before Tony Dungy that year as well. So had he got his wish, do the Buccaneers ever win a Super Bowl? I think it was crucial. I think Tony Dungy was a guy. I don't know that Jimmy Johnson, I certainly don't believe Steve Spurrier would have won a Super Bowl.
But let me ask you this, too. Are we also suffering maybe because Tomlin did such a good job in Pittsburgh? And the fear was Raheem was the next Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
And when everything was out there, he was interviewing well. And they suddenly said, hey, we got the next Tomlin here. Maybe we got to cut Gruden right away. And it seems like since that point, that's been the biggest mistake was ever getting rid of Gruden. I never wanted it.
Well, hindsight's 20/20 on that.
I think Tomlin's success and Raheem's rumors of all his good interviews everywhere also set this franchise back. And why I'm saying that is that still ultimately goes back to the kids when the time they were running the franchise. Because at that point, Malcolm was I can't remember if he was still alive at that point or just
he was alive, but he wasn't active in the project.
Yeah, he was not involved anymore in the franchise. The kids are running. And that's what I'm saying. With a president of football ops with a football background, maybe have said, whoa, let's hold off on doing that. You know, we've got a really good coach here. Maybe we just got to reset the roster.
I don't know. And Bucks Princess in the chat room brought up a good point. I don't know why Bucks fans do this, but it may be other fans too. We seem to spend an inordinate amount of time looking backwards. We are where the fuck we're at, man. And why or how. If there's a dream that the owners are going to step aside and let someone else run this franchise more than they're already doing Jason Light, who they seem to give a fair amount of control,
yeah.
I think it's more than a pipe dream, brother. I think it was you in the chat room said that recreational marijuana is okay in Nevada or will be soon. It may already be if that's the idea, right? I love that. I see on Twitter, not from you, by the way, but I see from other people, we need a change in ownership. What the fuck does that mean? Well, you're going to come buy the team? No, that's not going to happen, right? I think that the point that Chris brought up is a good one. You can't change your coach and your staff like you change your underwear and expect to have a successful franchise. Cheryl in the chat room brought up a good point. We are to the point culturally, and this is a tip of the cap to Brent, culturally where we celebrate first downs.
But
what the fuck? But, you go on the field to win. You play to win the game, Herm Edwards.
But as far as I don't like the argument, well, you change coaches too often. I disagree with that. If look at the Rams, look at Jeff Fisher. They tried to go with the consistency thing, and they've ended up with 7-9, and now whatever they're going to end up with this year, 5-11. If it's not the right guy, if you make a mistake, you admit your mistake, and you move on. I don't think anybody is thinking that Raheem Morris, had he stayed two more years, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, but does anybody feel like he was going to bring this team to the Super Bowl? Greg Schiano, I don't know. Lovie Smith, again, the owners, they felt that they were not the right guys. They owned up to it. They cut bait and changed. You can't. I mean, if you marry the wrong woman and 6 months into it, she's sleeping with eight other guys, you can't say, well, let me give her a couple more years in hopes that she straightens thing out. And if you got to keep, it's like when you're dating. If it's the wrong one, you cut bait, you keep going until you find the right one. I mean, look at the New England Patriots. We talked about this last week with Bill Belichick. How many crappy coaches did they go through, right? I mean, you got to go back to that 86 Super Bowl when they were good. And then they went through a period of 10 years when they were the Browns. They were the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. And they found the right guy. How many guys did they go through? They went through Pete Carroll, for cripe's sake. I mean, and this guy's won a Super Bowl now with Seattle. So, I mean, you could say that, boy, they made a mistake getting rid of him. But I don't think anybody would trade Pete Carroll for Bill Belichick. And I think you just got to keep, you know, if Dirk Cutter proves, if they feel in their heart that this guy doesn't have this team, and this team ends up, 3-13, and they go, 4-12 next year, he's gone. And I don't think that's the wrong thing to do. I don't think you just keep saying, well, for the sake of not changing, we're not going to change if you don't feel he's the right guy.
I'm going to let Chris answer this first, and I got something as well.
I understand your point, Mark, with that, but I wanted to bring it back.
By the way, Mark beat me. He made it home safely, so you guys were wondering.
And Derek mentioned, and I'll bring it back to 2016, Derek mentioned Bucks Princess making the comment about, looking back. Now, I understand what you're saying, Mark. These coaches aren't winning. Here's the problem of what it has is the impacts on the players that you have on your team today and the players that have been jettisoned from this team, because when you consistently go through changes in coaching staffs, and we're talking about Levante. We've been talking about Levante for this show. How many coaches has he been playing for? And each year, these defensive players seem to be learning a new scheme. So, of course, I look at this, and maybe if Derek wants to transition into this later, I look at where the offense is right now. Right, they got rid of the entire defensive staff. Did they retain anyone?
Not on the defensive side, but the
offense has pretty much remained intact. Mm-hmm. So if you look at one side of the ball that should be excelling, and I know there's injuries at this point above the defense, it should be the offensive side of the ball because they're not learning a new scheme. And you retained your guy, and he's here, and Jameis is in the second year. A lot of these guys are in the second year in the offense. So that transition of year to year, every 2 years, you've got a new staff coming in, is impacting the players, and it's impacting the guys that you're drafting, because each year it's like, well, we got to reset the script again, and now we have a new coach come in, and he wants to do different. Jonathan Banks is gone, and all these guys, Claiborne, all these guys, because they were drafted by a regime, that regime goes out the door, so you're constantly reloading via the draft to try and rebuild, and this is the situation that we're at. The inconsistency that you have with this franchise equates to all these losses. That's my opinion on it.
Well, I see that side. I do. I just...
And I'm not defending the coaches. I'm just saying when you continuously do that as a franchise, you're not magically in 1 year going to go from 2 wins to 10 wins.
No, I agree. But again, I think this organization still at this point still has a lot of faith in Dirk Cutter, and therefore he's going to have...
I would fucking hope so. It's his first year.
Hopefully have a little bit
longer
leash.
I'm not down on Dirk. I think Dirk needs more horses in the stable. I still think he needs a little bit more, and obviously you need a healthy stable of running backs as well too, to really get this team to another level. But I think what we want is, we don't want the blowouts on national TV anymore. We want a team that can win at home a little bit. And listen, at this point, I'm almost thinking back to the old days when I sat in the end zone, with the orange jersey on, and not many of us were there at Tampa Stadium. We're like, listen, when we were 3-12, 3-13, 4-12, like, at this point, I'd take 8-8 and be happy and be satisfied
and
with
so
that.
And so would almost every fan across the league, right? I mean, the thing. The expectations to me sometimes are funny. I'd be happy with 8-8. You'd be happy with 500? I would fucking hope so. It's a bell curve, right? You should be happy with 8-8, right? That's why when we won the Super Bowl, my comment was always, you guys, we better enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you never know if you'll see it again. When we were getting the playoffs every year, I was just as bad as everyone. I just expected to make the playoffs. Yeah, we'd get ruined by Philadelphia every year, right. But damn it, we were going to beat the shit out of people throughout the year. We're going to get our 10 or 11 wins. We're going to go to the playoffs, and we were going to be a team to be beaten.
By the way, I made a great point earlier about Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks being drafted by Sam Weiss. So, therefore, right. John Gruden won the Super Bowl with Sam Weiss's players. Let's just be honest. Okay, I think we can all agree with that.
It's clear.
I thought so.
And yeah. Tony Dungy won his Super Bowl in Indianapolis with what's-his-face's players.
Jim Mora?
Jim Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at any rate.
Playoffs.
Hey, Vegas.
Playoffs.
Vegas, thanks for calling, bro. You got anything else for us?
Playoffs.
No, it's good, man. It's hope we get a win. I like the predictions.
All right, man. Take care.
Especially if Chris said we're going to win.
All right.
There you go.
Take care, brother.
I'm the toughest sell in the room, brother.
He said we're going to tie. Mark told me. Dude, do you have a jar in here? I got to pee.
No, you can go pee if you want to, though. You don't have any clothes on. You're fine.
Do you have a wireless mic I could carry in there?
No, but I actually don't want you to leave yet because I want to
do a Facebook Live while I'm in there on your account?
Maybe like Mark, and you're afraid to go Facebook Live because you think you're not attractive enough. I don't know.
Good point. Mark got his teeth fixed this week, though. That's good.
I saw a post about that.
Yeah.
To the regime question, I think, Chris, you did a really good job in some ways of posting this or discussing this, which is it's not just the coach that changes. It's everything else that changes. But and to Cheryl's point in the chat room, if you keep hiring the wrong guy, like in my, you said earlier, or I think it was Mark. No, it was you, Knuck Knuck.
Yeah.
Said, well, what you do in your regular job, right, et cetera, et cetera. With what I do in my regular job, and part of my job when I worked at Microsoft was recruiting. I used to go out to colleges, and I was an interviewer, and they would score us on interviewing, right, based on how those people performed. And
so I used to recruit for the Mons.
Nice. If you were a high-rated interviewer, then you were sent on more interview jobs and this sort of thing. If you sucked at it, you didn't get to interview anymore. So if you want to take someone's rights away, then take away the rights of the people who keep hiring people who can't get the job done. Right, you don't let the same shitheads hire the next people when they've proven they couldn't hire the last one.
And you certainly
don't do it by saying, oh, we better hire this guy before we lose him to someone else. Which, by the way, we just did again.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were saying about Raheem earlier.
We just did it again. Right?
Yeah.
Now, do I think that Dirk and Raheem are perfect parallels? No, I don't. I don't. But the situations are strikingly similar. Right, there was obviously other shit with Lovey that Mark has talked to us before, Knuck Knuck, and I'm not sure if you're privy to, but there's other stuff with Lovey behind the scenes. But I honestly disagree wholeheartedly with you. When you look at the top 10 teams for the last 10 years in 2015, I think 7 of the top 10 have had the same coach for greater than 5 years. Right, you've got to give these guys time to get all of the pieces and get people to understand their schemes.
But who are those coaches?
I can go back and get the list of the coaches if you want me to. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, and the reason I say that is, again, Bill Belichick, right?
Mike Tomlin's one of them for sure.
You know,
right?
I mean.
Denver's regime, which hasn't really been one.
Right.
But that's the owner. That whole group has been together for quite some time.
Right.
Green Bay with is it McCarthy?
Yep.
Paul McCartney's taken over because McCarthy's on the hot seat.
The Colts, who again have had a tight-knit group, right? They've had transitional people, but they've had a tight-knit group. It's not a new system in Indianapolis. They're not bringing a new system to get that stuff run. San Diego, which is kind of a surprise to me, is in that list. They're sort of an outlier.
They're McCoy. Mike McCoy with 2 years, I believe.
The Saints, not a big surprise with the Saints being in the top 10. Baltimore Ravens in the top 10 as well.
Cowboys are in there.
Cowboys are in there as well.
Yeah.
93 wins. So you've got to have some form of stability, and you cannot just cave because you've had 2 bad years. And to Vegas Bucks saying, we don't want the blowouts on national television. Listen,
they're 1-1 this year.
There is a column for points scored, right? And it does matter at some point. But it only matters in a pretty esoteric scenario, right? A loss is a loss is a loss, and a win is a win is a win. So, to me, does it suck as a fan to get your teeth kicked in? Yeah, it does. It sucks walking out of the stadium knowing they hung 40 on you or whatever. But at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. You scrap it. You write it off. You move on to the next game. But anyway. All right, phone lines are open, 813-964-7364. I'm going to check the chat room. That was obviously a heated conversation. Kind of a silly, though, because, of course, good teams still have their coaches. Good teams aren't going to fire their coaches. So Rick brings up a good point. Is this a chicken and egg situation, right? What led, right? And someone else brought up Cincinnati. A lot of people thought Marvin Lewis should have been fired, 50 years ago when Cincinnati was terrible and everyone was getting arrested. And then they became a relatively reliable competitor.
Would you take the playoffs every year and keep your coach around? I mean, I understand they're not getting over the hump, but they seem to be in the playoffs just about every year.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is still a good one, right?
Yeah.
They stuck it out.
Sure.
Right? They went AFC North approach, right? They
right.
stuck it out. But Rick's point is a good point, right? How many of those guys, we need to go back and see how long it took those coaches to get the team to the point where they got to a playoffs.
Yeah,
had Lovie Smith gotten to the playoffs in year two, had they not tanked at the end of the year, had they gotten to the playoffs, is Lovie Smith here for 15 years because year after he gets them a 10-win season or whatever? We don't know. We just don't. And we'll never find out because we keep hitting the reset button, right? At some point, I think they've got to hitch their wagon to someone they believe in and let that person build that culture that everyone keeps asking for. Because the culture doesn't get built by the owners. There's exceptions to that. The Jerry Joneses of the world, they build their culture. Jerry Jones has built a culture in Dallas. He's going to spend money. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
No one out there wonders, hey, Jerry, there's this new technology. Buy it. Right? Hey, Jerry, I want this free agent. Buy him.
Yeah.
Right? That's an outlier too, though. But anyway, Rivera is a good example as well, Cheryl. Good point.
Yeah,
in Carolina, right? This guy, everyone wanted him gone. Everyone wanted him gone. Then all of a sudden, right there playing in the Super Bowl.
But let's look at the common correlation between every single one of these teams you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Every one of them has, or 95% of them have, that franchise quarterback, right? That's the key component to all these. I mean, you've got Romo that was in Dallas, who was a winner. Now you've got Prescott playing well. You've got Flacco. You've got, I mean, Tom Brady, obviously. You've
oh,
got,
yeah, Philip Rivers.
You know,
I mean, every one of them.
You know,
the mighty Andy Dalton.
That makes coaches become very good coaches when you have a good quarterback.
Right, but again, and Rick brings up something we'd have to analyze, and I busted Rick's balls the other day. We were chatting because I think you've got to be careful with
that
stats.
That can hurt if you bust someone's balls.
Figuratively, I busted
them.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. By the way, Nuck Nuck is now fully clothed. Apparently, the fan has raised the temperature to a level that's acceptable to him.
Well,
so,
I'm going to go pee soon, and I didn't want to bump into Mrs. Fournier.
Well, she's been asleep for 3 hours.
Well, perfect.
I like them better when they're asleep, he said.
So did Bill Cosby.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Damn it, man. You just threw me off my course, you son of a bitch.
I got to go grab myself by the D. I'll be right back.
You were talking about quarterbacks.
That's not going to do much for your confidence. Go ahead and finish that. I was talking about quarterbacks. Oh, yeah. So you have the Buccaneers, and they thought they went and got one with Raheem. They thought they went and got one in Josh. And then what did he have? Four offense coordinators in 5 years?
Yeah.
Right, to your point about the defensive players. You think that hurts defensive players? What does it do to a quarterback, a young quarterback at that? I'm not saying Josh was the be-all, end-all. Right, but he could make all the throws. He showed capability. You've got to have some sort of stability. You Culver House built a culture. Yeah, that's true. And people don't know how to shut doors that are in the Cook and Nuck Nuck family. So Butters keeps coming in going, listen, I can open the door if you do that shit. Anyway, so we can draft QBs or coaches. I don't know what that means, Cheryl. You have to clarify. We cannot. Well, we don't draft coaches, but no, we can't hire coaches, and we can't seem to draft QBs. But then again, that's something we've talked about for ages. That's not as easy as people like to make it out to be. Nuck Nuck is not in a thong. He's using the bathroom. So, anyway, what's grinding your gears this week, Chris?
I'm always, again, the apologist for the defense and the hardest on the offense. And I do have a fear coming into this week that we're going to see a repeat of last year in this Bears game, that an offense who should be I understand the injury situation, right? And I know with Pamphile being out, that's a question mark coming into this game, especially if there's an injury.
That affects us bigly,
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Our president-elect says.
Absolutely. I mean, again, you could be turning to a guy in Caleb Beninock that when Mark Cook was here, that he mentioned in the first.
Shut the door for real,
good
jackass.
Lord. Good Lord. He's stripping and making me lose my train of thought.
And he still can't shut the fucking door.
But there seemed to be a trend towards the end of last year where the offense was struggling. And the offense, let's if we break down and look at some of the games this year, again, I mentioned, I feel like the offense should be head and shoulders above the defense at this point.
Absolutely.
Two games, potentially, this offense has played fairly well. And we look at it, because the heat right now this week is coming out on the defense. And Mike Smith, and they need to get rid of Mike Smith in the last two games. Look at this. We talked about 2 weeks ago going into the Raiders game, you're going to see a regression. You've got two high-powered offenses coming in, right? VH3 can't cover anybody. Brent Grimes is awful. You know, going against Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Then you've got Julio Jones, who no one can stop Julio Jones, right? My biggest concern moving forward is this offense going to get better? Because I expected this right now from the defense, right? They were improving week to week. There's been a regression. But now we're back to the same shit that we've been year, and it's always on the defense. It's the defense. But if you actually do a full analysis of game to game and you look at what this offense is doing in the situations where they're going three and out, they're not to that point where they need to be. And that's where I wish people would focus on a little bit is tell the whole story, not just focus on this past week, which was the defense, you know, blame the defense. They didn't talk about the fact that the offense turned the ball over twice in the first quarter, and the defense, you know, it was 6 points.
When I was rewatching the film, that was the thing that hit me the most, right? Because watching it real time, my gut feel was, wow, this was a game we stayed in, and then the third quarter happened, and we were screwed.
Yeah, which, right? Again, playing those 90 snaps, whatever it was, that the defense played.
In Oakland, or against Oakland, right?
You almost knew that was going to happen in the second half.
But
the offense didn't come out and score. You got to score 30 points to beat the Falcons, because you know your defense isn't going to hold them.
But I didn't remember the two turnovers. I remembered one.
Yeah.
Right? And when I went back and watched it, I went, you got to be fucking kidding me. We did it twice.
Yeah.
You know, and then Mike Smith has got to figure out a way, and he's going to have to go down in a blaze of glory, right? He can't just hope the way the Bucks did in the playoff game against New York coming out after the half, that they can just let the guys catch the ball in front of them and make the tackles, unless the linebackers are going to pull their heads out of their asses and start tackling again. If they do that, then you can play that game,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not doing it.
Right.
If we saw it on film, I guarantee you that staff has seen it. So be aggressive. Be aggressive, right? Send the extra blitz. Get beat. Whatever. Shit, we're not sending the blitz, and we're letting tight ends run 45 yards down the field with no one within 10 yards of them. So take the shot. Take the risk.
I know they watched this kid that they drafted in the first round play at that school that he played for that Nuck Nuck doesn't like to talk about.
No,
he does.
Nuck Nuck's a big Gator fan. Cook is
what,
seminal
what
fan.
He excels at is playing up against the wide receiver and not 10 yards off. So you'd actually be playing to your number one draft pick strengths at that point is playing press and having him up there and jamming the guy at the line because, you know, Lord knows he gets past it and the miscommunication that's going on with the safety.
Well,
right
and one of the arguments that gets made, is it's a sound football argument, right? Without pressure from the front four, your secondary suffers. But at the same time, one of the ways you can get your front four an opportunity to get to the quarterback is by playing press man. If you can keep those receivers on the line of scrimmage, if you can stay in their bubble. So the quarterback's got to make a tougher throw. If you're going to play 8 to 12 yards off the ball, they can go smoke. They can do all sorts of things to get the ball out of their hands on a three-step drop, and you don't sniff them, right? If you're going to play 12 yards off the ball, which we've been doing lately, you're going to see square ends underneath it all day, which we saw from Denver, we saw from Carolina briefly, we saw from Atlanta. If that's what you're going to allow them to do, it's pitch and catch.
Well, there's no doubt. And there were guys just running free. I mean, you knew in that third quarter they came out. I think I can't remember, but it seems like they ran the same play to Julio Jones about 7 times.
That little square
in. And he was open every single time, and there was just no adjustment there. And I don't understand, you know, why you don't change things up at that point, because Atlanta's not going to do anything different if you keep allowing them to do that. If they're getting 15 yards a pass every time to Julio on that little square, on that square, you know, they're going to keep doing it. Now, what you said about playing press, teams don't play press on one side and not on the other. And Brent Grimes is not a guy that's going to out-physical anybody at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And Vernon could get away with that a lot more in college than I think he can in the NFL.
That's a good point.
Particularly against bigger guys. I just don't know that you can team – I mean, you can do that one side and not on the other. Teams don't – I don't remember seeing guys do that.
You can run man and have one guy press if it's a physical mismatch. But, I mean, you're right. Normally it's symmetrical.
Right, right.
And in fact, in that same video from the guys you mentioned earlier, they were talking – I was watching – I continued to watch the defensive review. They weren't reviewing the Bucs. They were reviewing other teams. And there was a deep dive on Sherman. And how where Sherman plays, if your primary receiver goes to the slot, if Sherman follows, then they're typically in man. There's a couple of other leading indicators, all this sort of stuff. But to your point, Nuck Nuck, and to Chris's point, you've got to start playing to the strengths of this team and giving some help to the pieces that are falling apart. The problem we have is right now it's like poor Chevy Chase in Vegas Vacation. Right, he's got the gum in the first hole. He's got his foot in the third hole. He's got two fingers in holes. And this isn't a movie that you were in when you were in college either. This is just a dam that's pouring water on this defense right now. And John, you're right.
Damn.
Welcome to the damn tour. I'll be your damn tour guide.
Right.
But, John, you're right. They were gassed, right? They absolutely were gassed. Tough shit. They've got to play football.
Mike said it today. He says, we got what we deserve. I mean, we couldn't get off the field. And make a stop against the Raiders when we needed to. So we ended up playing 5 quarters. I mean, that's just, you know, and so guess what? No one feels sorry for you. The other team's not going to be like, you know what, let's go easy on them because they played. They're going to put their foot on your throat and they're going to try and crush your windpipe. And that's what they did.
You talked about playing off. One of the things I did note on Jameis, I'm the guy who never says nice things about Jameis Winston, right?
I went to UF.
Yeah. But I did notice.
Oh, Chris is butthurt because he got taken to task on Twitter.
That's that guy who did zero homework. I did see Jameis, and you can look at it. I believe it's the first drive. Makes the adjustment at the line. He sees Brian Poole playing 12 yards off, and what'd he do? Quick, you know, right away to hump and get the 10 yards. You know. So props
we
to
did
him.
See a couple slants last week for the first time, really. I think in a while.
So, again,
I agree. This is one of the schematic things that has bothered me for years. Mm-hmm. And Dirk shows that he is, and I used the Leach comparison the other day, he is an academic when it comes to football. You can see the game plan evolving. You can see him trying to get the mismatches he wants. You can see him setting plays up. He's setting them up in the first quarter for execution in the third, right? This is not checkers for him. This is chess. But why basic things that happen at every level of football are not happening with Jameis Winston? I get Mike Evans is special, and we're not real special beyond that. But Hump is a great example. If you walk up and you see a 12-yard cushion, I don't give a fuck what the play was.
Right.
Right. If I walk up and I see Mike Evans and someone's in press with him, I don't give a fuck what the play is.
Right.
Right. We don't see that level. And I don't know whether Dirk is not allowing Jameis to do that or whether it's a matter of Jameis doesn't feel comfortable doing it. But that's when the Joe Flaccos of the world, the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world, right, the Drew Breeses of the world, they are like coaches on the field. You can have a play, and the play can be terrific, but if that defense comes out and does something stupid, goes off half-cocked and thinks that a 5'7 corner is going to be able to press Mike Evans,
right.
Guess what? Taking that play, throwing it in the trash can. Yeah. We're just going to run. So, anyway. You guys have anything else to talk about? I know we're almost out of time. You guys have been here late. Knuck, knuck, I know you've got some more business to transact, and you probably have to put your clothes on.
Tell you what, in my business, it never ends. I mean, it's 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. I go through a lot of batteries in my beeper.
It's the strong customer service, though.
Well, I mean, when people need deliveries, they need deliveries, and I'm not going to be the person that denies them. I mean, granted, the vote the other day could hurt things, but we're going to try and push through that.
Competition, man.
Yeah.
Rising tide rises all ships, right? Yeah. There was a question in the chat room about screens. One thing that has started happening in the last 2 weeks is our linemen are getting a little bit antsy, and our receivers are getting sloppy.
They're blocking before, though.
So, well, they're getting downfield, yeah, right? So you can only get downfield if the receiver's behind the line of scrimmage on the completion. Mm-hmm. So one of two things has to happen. Our linemen have to be less athletic or less aggressive getting downfield, or our receivers have to know where the fuck the line of scrimmage is.
Yeah.
The second one is easier, because if I can get the fat guy running downfield, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
So Humphreys, Evans, insert other guy here, whoever it is, Martino, God knows we're signing people off the street to play receiver at this point.
Josh Huff.
There you go.
I need to call him.
Get behind the line of scrimmage.
You got his number?
Can Nuck Nuck get you VIP for Mons later? Hey, if you're in town, I'm sure we could line you up with VIP for Mons.
Though Nuck Nuck can get you anything you
I
want.
Have to admit, though, VIP at Mons only means that you're not watched while you pee. That is really the only difference in VIP at Mons.
I can give you Lane Johnson's phone number of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, we've done some business.
Kids are out of school tomorrow in Hillsborough County.
I think I was drunk and put that on Twitter last year.
Said, if you want to call phone number,
yeah, before the Bucks play the Eagles, said I got Lane Johnson's phone number if you want to call him, wake him up,
and you wonder why people hate podcasters.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We're
uncensored.
Real.
Oh wait, somebody already uses that.
Real quick, I didn't say it. Real quick.
That's Knuck Knuck fucking with me.
I got into this on Twitter like 3 or 4 weeks ago when we talked about the schedule is getting so much easier towards the end of the year. Right. If there's one game. A winnable game that you can see right now, because you can only really look week to week in the NFL, it's this weekend against the Bears. Because what everyone was saying, the schedule gets so much lighter, was a snapshot in time after, three to four games that have been played.
Oh, yeah.
And now you take a look at it, and you got to go on the road to KC, which is never an easy environment to win a football game.
Never.
You've got to come back, and you've got two division games against New Orleans within a four-week time period or three-week time period.
We got Panthers Seattle still, coming.
Seattle. On the road at San Diego, so another West Coast trip. On the road at Dallas, and then you got Carolina coming to Tampa week 17. So this schedule, even though 3-4 weeks ago people were telling you it's getting so much easier towards the end of the year, that's utter bullshit.
The schedule really screwed me up business wise because they played Denver, not in Colorado, and they're not playing in Seattle in Washington this year, which really hurts my business.
I'm sure you couldn't pick up any more supply.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
17-16 this week.
Thank you.
Zach Miller, 2 touchdowns for the Bears.
Two touchdowns.
Is it Zach or Zach? How does he spell it? Is it Z-A-K or Z-A-C-H?
It's not like
it doesn't matter how it's spelled, Dick.
I just always
it's always
like
Zach.
To say Zach.
It's not like Zach Attack.
Oh, from Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Did we ever have a chance, Mark Cook, when he's back? That's a Zach Attack reference.
Yes.
Nice.
No, my point is as Mark tells me, Eric Orchie brought this up one time when we were trying to spell somebody's name is, he goes, is it Zach or Zach? Because there's different spellings of Zach. And obviously the pronunciation is not Zach,
sure,
but it's the Z-A-C-H or D-A or it's K-A or A-A.
Silent
or,
Q.
Or Pineapple Express. Either one.
Nice. All right. I want to thank Knuck Knuck for showing up. I also want to thank him for putting his clothes back on, except for he did take his pants off, which is a little bit awkward.
Where are they?
No one knows where
Chris?
Your pants are.
Chris, where are they?
I want to thank Chris from Bucks Brief Podcast before, BYOCB now. I know you got a live event coming up, Chris. Where is that at?
Yeah, we're doing a monorail pub crawl December 17th out of Disney. So we do some things. It's actually a co-founded or co what's the right
hosted?
Word? Co-hosted event with the Drinking at Disney, real authors who wrote a book about how to properly drink when you're at Walt Disney World.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're doing a big monorail pub crawl event around the holidays, 12/17. At BYOCB show on Twitter if you want more info about that.
If you're not going with me to Dallas, you should go to that. But I will be in Dallas.
That's right. That's right.
I will be
it's
in
Dallas weekend. Isn't it?
I will be in Dallas for that game.
I got some business in Orlando.
Someone in the chat room, I think it was Vegas Bucks fan, said, "Can we just play the Niners?" Oh yeah, can we just play the Niners again?
On the road, of course.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll get these podcasts up tonight. We got more articles coming out from the team. We will see you live for our tailgate, 9 a.m. The bar opens. We are going to party. It doesn't matter win, lose, or draw. We're going to be out there. The charities this week or this month are Movember, and we are also collecting toys for the Jackson Action Foundation. We are partnering up with them as well as Jameis Winston for two events coming up in December. Get to the website to find out more information. Also, get on Facebook.com/WTBRM, and you can find out what the Buck Really Matters is doing. We've been doing some amazing stuff because of you guys, because of your participation, because of your support. You know, we talk about tailgating with a purpose, and that's really what we've done. So, at any rate, thanks for joining. We will see you guys next week. Yeah, I'll be back from Miami. So, next week, we'll be back on Thursday night, hopefully talking about a Bucks win and predicting another victory on the heels of this Bears game, right? Is that what we're going
to do? Yeah. Sure. We'll be 1-4.
And there you go. 1-4 at home. We'll win it home for you guys. All right, guys. Take care. Go Bucks.
Have a chance.